Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be filling in for Greg Lancaster today. And joining with me in the studio is Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. And Chris.
Hello, John.
Hello, Chris. Man, I love that voice. My goodness. Well, I'm so excited. I do want to give a shout out to all of our VFN Radio listeners. And oh my goodness, Nancy and Leticia and Akash and Michael and Melvin. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you, this is so Lauren, Felita, amazing every single day. We can just consider it an honor and a privilege to be with you here today. Of course, I want to give a shout out to everyone out there, including the VFN family. I want to give you a shout out this morning.
All right.
I know they want to give a shout out to Donna and VFN Bronx and Maria and oh my goodness, and I can't wait to hear from Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, you got to tell us what's going on, Pastor Steve. You got to tell us what's going on. I saw him in the coat, and he's all shivering up there. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's gotten a little chilly up there now.
It's supposed to be a Marine.
Gone are the flip-flops are gone.
No, flip-flops are gone, you know. Still, the word is silent on Mr. Eddie. I mean, I'm going to have to send a recon team out there for him and find out what's going on.
He sent Steve out there to find him.
Talk to us. Talk to us, Eddie. Talk to us. Well, good morning. I want to share with you, I woke up this morning so excited. Listen, I say this often, but it just can't escape me.
Yeah.
Five fingers on each hand, five toes on each feet. I mean, alive and well, breath in the lungs. It's a good day when you can wake up every morning, not in any kind of pain or hurting or sickness. Let me tell you something. And you're serving Jesus. Mm-hmm. Listen, a bad day with God is better than a good day without him. I take a bad day any day. You know what I mean?
Amen to that.
But I want to share with you in Psalms 30. It reads, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, and you brought me up from the grave and you spared me from going down into the pit. Let me tell you something. There is a lot to shout about. Amen. The problem is sometimes that we focus on we count our blessings on our hand, but we count our miseries on our adding machine. We need to turn that around. Let me tell you something. You're blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed today. No matter what's going on, let me tell you something. You can exalt the Lord. You can lift your praise. I see them going crazy over these, sports people and ladies. They go crazy over some sales. You see them shouting and going, I'm just joking. But, we all get excited for all different. You can exalt the Lord today. You can exalt the Lord. Let me tell you, it's so much better to lift out a shout of praise, have an attitude of gratitude than to stay gloom and doom. There's no reason. There's no reason because you know what? God is able.
That's right.
I mean, God is able. Just look back. Just look what he's brought you from. I mean, I look back and say, God, 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 God.
Yeah.
I love you, man. I love you. I don't get tired of thanking him from where he's brought me from. Literally rescued me.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, saw me lying in the pool of blood and just said, live,
Yeah.
And I'm grateful, forever grateful.
Amen.
And so today I want to encourage you, have an attitude of gratitude. Count God's blessings on a calculator. Count your troubles, not even on you, just on a few fingers. Don't even give yourself five fingers to count. Just say, it's okay.
<Right. laughs>
I will present these requests to God and just leave it there. I'm gonna entrust myself in this situation to the one who judges justly.
Amen.
You know, he is able to do exceedingly and immeasurably above all I can ask, think, or imagine. Yeah. If God is for me, who can be against me?
Preach it.
Come on, man. I'm just excited this morning, man.
That's good. That's good. Absolutely
He's
right.
He's good, man.
Yeah.
So, oh my. Well, we have an exciting program today. I'm excited to be talking about some really interesting things that are happening in the news.
Mm-hmm.
I know most recently that you know, we just prayed. You know, we just talked about last couple of days about Israel, mm-hmm. what's been happening. We've asked everyone to stand boldly and continue not to waver during this time and to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we recently shared on VFN Radio, you know, Israel has been having to deal with two kind of situations, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
One on their northern border with Syria and then one on the southern border with Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jerusalem Post, Pat and Chris, they're actually sharing and reporting that Egypt, I don't understand that yet, but Egypt mediates a truce on the Gaza border.
Uh-huh.
And says Israel and Hamas agree to hold their fire unless attacked.
Mm.
And Defense Minister Barak praises the resilience of the rocket racked south.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this barrage occurred over a 4-day period of time,
mm-hmm.
where these small number of rockets, you know, went over into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say that an official close to the Egyptian team or whoever is mediating says that the message was clear, and Israel too told Egypt that they were not interested in escalation if the rocket firing stopped. I mean, mm-hmm. Of course, Israel's not interested in continuing any kind of conflict. I mean,
right.
They're only trying to defend themselves.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? So there's no reason to instigate or keep a conflict going.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they got into it to begin with is because, those were rockets that were sent over.
Mm-hmm.
I love what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, I just so support him. I
mm-hmm.
mean, I so support him for the love he has for Israel, for his people,
right.
and for his willingness to be bold and have courage.
Mm-hmm.
When his back is completely against the wall. And he says this: whoever thinks that he can routinely attack the daily lives of the residents of the South without paying a heavy price is mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He says this: I am responsible for choosing the right time to exact the highest possible price, and so it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just put him out on, just putting it out there. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? I like a leader that just speaks English, you know what I'm saying, and,
mm-hmm.
and just makes it plain,
right.
and willing to take bold stands and moving in courage. Also, the cabinet agreed that if the rocket fire renewed, I mean, you know what, we there's a truce now, but
mm-hmm.
my goodness, how long has this been happening? You know,
right.
There's a temporary truce. We're not going to put too much stock. You know, in this, but we will celebrate the fact that no one in Israel is going to be, you know, right now there's a temporary reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that the cabinet agreed that if the rocket fire is renewed, then Israel would increase the severity of its response of deteriorating further violence from the Palestinians. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be the next time there's going to be a heightened action.
Right.
And, so it's really good. And then, of course, the defense Barak minister, Ehud Barak, says that clearly this isn't over. So they're not naive in this truce. You know, the least naive people out there, I would dare say the Jewish people are, you know, fool me once, okay, but I don't think you're going to get over on them a second time.
No, right.
And he says, clearly this isn't over. We will decide how and when to act the minute there will be a need to do so. And this is just, you know, similar statements that they have said before. So for right now, I'm just an update on what's going on there in Israel on the Gaza Strip. You know, there is a temporary truce. And so listen,
mm-hmm.
continue to pray. I mean,
absolutely.
I believe the Lord answered our prayers. Continue
Amen.
To pray. We're not, there's no interest in no kind of war. There's no interest in any kind
mm-hmm.
of increased military activity. We just want peace
mm-hmm.
In Israel. We just want an end to any type of conflict or any type of rockets, hello, being fired against Israel. So continue to pray and stand with those that stand boldly for Israel. If you just tuned in today to VFN Radio and you just found out about this today, listen, I want to encourage you, VFNTV.com, and go to the VFN Torch. You'll see an image right there on the website, VFNTV.com, a logo. Select that logo, and all you have to do in the right-hand corner, you'll see a little search bar. Type in Israel, and you'll see several highlights, we like to call them, on the topics of Israel and how it relates. But you can put Israel on there.
Right, and that logo says VFN Torch, by the way.
Absolutely, it says VFN Torch. Thank you, Pat. Mm-hmm. You know, we said, too, that this is important, that as soon as this prophetic word that was shared, that as soon as Israel has to fire the first shot to defend itself, I mean, this is, because of the administration and the position that they've allowed Israel to be, which is our ally. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is our friend.
Right.
There has been no closer ally in the Middle East than Israel.
Absolutely.
Zero.
Right.
You know, I know several of us have been to Israel. When I went to Israel, I remember being in Jerusalem and down in the market, and I was, you know, purchasing some stuff and when I was down there, I had a chance to talk with some of the locals, which is really great. And they showed to me Jerusalem. I was looking at this leather bag, this satchel, and it had Jerusalem, I guess, etched or stamped in it. Mm-hmm. And he took the word, he showed me in the middle of the word Jerusalem, USA.
Right.
And and I thought,
oh, wow. You're right.
He says, we stand with USA.
Oh, wow.
We stand with USA.
Oh, cool.
And I thought, wow, how amazing, which is so cool. But they stand with us. Mm-hmm. We need to stand with them. We know believers are standing with them, but our nation needs to stand with them. So continue to pray, and we'll keep you updated on developments and what's happening. But I know one thing. There's no type of defense like prayer defense. You know, you can have all kinds of anti-ballistic.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, dome technology. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, nothing like prayer to bring anything down.
That's right.
Well, continuing this path of God's news behind the news. And if you're just turning in, you know, we just had a re-election of the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the country was just very divided in terms of the direction that many Americans felt that the country should go. And we celebrate the fact that, you know, many people turned out for the vote. Many people decided that they were going to stand to their opinion and get activated and take a stand. I mean, my goodness, there's nothing worse than someone that's just all over the map. It's like, you know, stand for something, please. Choose something, choose something good, but stand, you know what I mean? At least someone that has a conviction. And many people did, but what is happening? And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there has been a recent flood of secession petitions that is really gaining a lot of access. I mean, ever since the president was reelected, and this is ABC News is reporting that petitions from states in almost every region of the country has hit whitehouse.gov calling for secession from the union.
All right.
This is pretty significant. The White House has a site called We the People, and visitors can submit petitions on a range of important issues facing the country. And the White House promises to review them and issue a response once they reach a certain signature threshold. And that threshold is about 25,000 signatures per state.
Right.
Okay.
And what exactly is like secession?
Well, secession is when a state is trying to leave the union.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're saying,
the United States.
The United States. They're saying, we want to be our own, we want to form our own government.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And we had a civil war. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a president. We had a civil war.
That's right.
This is not a good thing,
right.
You know. I want you to play this. We want to hear the segment here real quick, but go ahead and listen up.
By the map, it looks like nearly half the country apparently wants out. Well, at least a small percentage in these states have signed petitions. How small, you ask? About 157,000 in 22 states have inked their name, so to speak, in a section of the WhiteHouse.gov website called We the People. It's an open forum for citizens or anyone with a valid email address to create petitions. But in order for the administration to issue an official response, 25,000 people must sign up. Louisiana was the first on the list last Wednesday when Michael E. from Slidell started one to, quote, peacefully grant the state of Louisiana to withdraw from the United States of America and create its own new government.
I think it's ridiculous. Honestly, I really do. I think it's really dumb.
I feel like that's a little much, a little over the top.
But there are tens of thousands that apparently disagree. 16,000 and counting here in Louisiana, and now up to 26,000 in Texas, more than needed to get some sort of response from the White House.
It never surprises me with the state. It's actually kind of ridiculous. It's like we're living in a far side or twilight zone. Who knows?
I still feel like it's pretty unnecessary to want to like separate and make your own country away from the United States, honestly. We're a little small for that.
Not to mention, what will we call it? And think of all the things that our Louisiana, the country, would miss. Those we spoke to said the state could never survive without federal funding. And the only good thing to come from secession?
LSU football will win it, be the national champions every year. And the Saints will win the Super Bowl every year.
Wow,
you know, a second thought.
listen, guys. Wouldn't you guys love that? I mean, the Saints would be they'd be the champions.
Yeah, right.
I thought you'd find that a little humorous.
That
but actually,
humorous.
This is. But that, yeah. What we're talking about is not humorous.
Sure.
Because, private joke amongst us, but not really private. We talk about how the Saints are. Well, we'll leave that alone.
Anyway.
But in terms of what we're talking about today, mm-hmm. I mean. This is serious, and these signatures, they're increasing, like, not by the day, but, like, by the hour.
Yeah.
By late Tuesday morning, which was yesterday, mm-hmm. They've been flooded now. You're looking at the White House, about 34 states now. 34
oh, wow.
states are allowing for peaceful secession, and there's a few states that are, like, leading the way in getting, you know, a lot of signatures. You know, by that morning, there was 388,000 signatures. Okay.
Wow.
And when you go to WhiteHouse.gov, in order to fill out this petition, this signature, you need to put a valid email address so they know what your email is and mm-hmm. what state. But by 2 o'clock yesterday, there was 409,000.
Wow.
With two more states added, like Virginia and Wisconsin. I mean, you're looking at 34 states in the country. And it's not just, you know, what people would know like Republican red states, if you will,
mm-hmm.
but they're coming from states like New Jersey and New York and all over. In fact, this mm-hmm. that segment that we just played said that Texas, I believe, had 26,000. Well, you need to have 25,000 within 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They succeeded that. They have about 77,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard last night, I think on the Blaze, it was like 82,000. Last night.
Yeah, it's constantly increasing. And so Louisiana has about 29,000. So they've already reached their threshold.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida has 22,000.
Wow.
Georgia, 21. Alabama, 21. And, you know, mm-hmm. and some change there, if you will. But this is what they're asking for is to peacefully grant the states to withdraw from the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some of these petitions are basically stating the reasons like what was in the Declaration of Independence in 1776. You know, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another
mm-hmm.
and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impelled them to the separation.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, some people think it's foolish, as you heard, you know, what, you know, some of the folks that were being interviewed. But you know what? There is room for concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to take something like that lightly when individual people are just going on a website from different states and are just starting to say,
mm-hmm.
I want to start this petition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our country is heavily divided And part of the job of the president is to kind of try to bring everyone together
right
after the election. And so continue to pray for the president. Continue to keep all of this in your prayer. Mm. You know, no matter what happens to the nation and to the country, let me tell you something. God's kingdom is still going to advance. God's kingdom is still going to move forward. Jesus is still on the throne, and we must be about the Lord's business.
That's right.
Heaven full, hell empty. You know what I mean? The advancement of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And so, but yet and still, as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth, we need to make sure that our salt doesn't lose its saltiness.
Right.
And that, and at the same time, that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, shining light, praying, and lifting up the name of Jesus. So stay in tune, but stay prayerful. We don't necessarily want to see this happen.
Right.
Wouldn't be good for the nation. Mm-hmm. But understand that as well, there's a lot of things that are happening in our country that has been going away from God.
That's right.
I mean, we talked about the abortions. We've talked about so many of the sins. It's just so right. wide open.
That's I mean, right.
Just wide open. The nation's just turned from God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's time. It all starts with the church. It all starts with the church.
That's right.
So we really need to say, listen, we need to turn our hearts back to God. A nation can turn back to God mm-hmm. because, you know, what could come up? I mean, you just don't know. You could see these states. I mean, right now they're saying that there's no legal way that this could potentially happen. Mm-hmm. I think that allegedly one of the Supreme Court justices was asked a question, not in reference to this particular, but to something else. And allegedly, there's no legal right for a state to do that. Mm-hmm. But we are living in some serious times. You just never really know.
You just don't know.
And we just want to be prayerful and be aware. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you that no matter what you're hearing, and we're addressing it because it's, you know, it's dominating a lot of news cycles, that we can't forget the kingdom that we're a part of and we're of.
That's right. Who's in control?
And who is in control. We'll be right back.
Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, mm-hmm. and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that He's speaking to me. And I find that His word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and He's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God. If I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn of His ways. I want to abide with Him and spend time with Him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the Great Commandment. I want to fulfill the Great Commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see, where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. But so what's happening, man? It's beautiful weather, is it not?
Absolutely. Gorgeous weather. I was in the Bronx the other night, and I'm driving back. I'm thinking, my gosh, I love nothing like the cool weather. And I was telling Eddie, I could drive over this George Washington Bridge 1,000 times and never get tired of looking at the beautiful New York skyline. I mean, it was just like one of them days, you know. I was just like, oh, this is gorgeous.
I'm scarred from that, because all I can remember is that poor little egg. Yeah, I just think about the pain and the tragedy that bridge represents.
My goodness, Pat. we're in beautiful Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge, mm-hmm. before you cross it and head over to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at, you know, gorgeous Manhattan as we're, you know, walking around Fort Lee, this actually awesome historic park that's right there, which wars were fought right there. You know what I'm saying? George Washington was right there. It's just amazing. And he says, I'm walking. He says, I crushed. What would you say I crushed?
Well, you ran up and saw this egg. It fell out of a little nest. This little tweety little bird is going like, oh, my egg. And it kind of.
It's like a little caterpillar thing that I stepped on by accident. But you know what? I'll give it to him.
It was an ostrich egg.
Listen, I'll give it to him. He has so much compassion.
I was looking over my shoulder.
He got down on one knee. And he's like, the egg. I'm like.
There was so much potential in it, you know. As you can see, there could be future, you know, flocks flying over the community, you know, future pigeon deposits over the statues, you know. And well, think about the city, you know, down in other parts of the country, you know, there's rats and rodents. And obviously, they have them too, but they have a different kind of rat in the city that has wings. They fly. Yeah. Don't feed the rats. And it's like the pigeons just come and they just relieve themselves over everything. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, they'll relieve themselves over you.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Oh my, I can't
believe you did that. That's awful.
Listen. I mean, and it was a caterpillar, little bug or something, and he was like, what, did you just step? I'm like, come on. Are you serious?
Oh my goodness.
But he still you brute. Picked it up.
You brute.
Oh yeah. I have so much mercy when those flies come around me. I know you do too.
Flies?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
I want to kill any creation, right?
Right.
Except that they bite you.
Exactly.
But you know, we shared just before the break about Israel and all the truce and how that's great going down there, as well as what's happening with the secession, mm-hmm. or the petitions for secession, rather.
Right.
And how we should just just keep everything in prayer as we always do. Mm-hmm. But you know, In God's news behind the news, just so much happening. And you know, we shared not too long ago on VFN Radio, Pat and Chris, and we talk about the original intent of the country and the Constitution and how it's important to know it, to uphold it, to defend it. Well, just recently, Google released what they call a transparency report. And they release these reports twice a year now since 2009. Mm-hmm. But what they're finding is that government surveillance and requests for information has increased dramatically. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, the governments around the world actually have made nearly 21,000 requests, according to the BBC, And basically, within the last 6 months of the first year, and, mm-hmm. and Google turns this information over, said they, Google's saying that the government surveillance on online lives is rising sharply. And of all the countries, the U.S. government made the most demands. Like, don't we have the Constitution?
Are you serious?
All countries, yeah, we make the most demands in the first six months of 2012. There was something like 7,969 requests. And, you know, countries can also ask Google to remove content as well. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But like I said, this report gets sent out basically twice a year since 2009. Mm-hmm. And it just shares, you know, who's requesting the information and why. And it's good. I mean, if you're a Google client, mm-hmm. well, many people are, they have a responsibility to let you know, if, you know, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this is the sixth time that this has been released. And what they're saying, they said they have a blog which basically says that the government surveillance is on a rise. And mm-hmm. what they're also saying is that it reflects the laws in a particular country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, like in Turkey, there's specific laws about defaming public figures. So anything that defames a public figure, they ask for it to be removed. Germany, the same way, anything that has to do with Nazi, mm-hmm. they ask that to be removed as well.
Right.
But what's happening is that, you know, this content has full access. So the government's requesting information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have Fourth Amendment rights. You know, we have Fourth Amendment, and many are concerned that, listen, this is in violation. I mean, the Fourth Amendment says that the rights of the people, right, is mm-hmm. it's first of all, it's for search and seizure, right? But the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures
mm-hmm.
shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So it's they just can't take information. So mm-hmm. many people are asking, well, how is this happening then if we have search and seizure, you know, Fourth Amendment rights? Well, there is an act. It's called the Electronic Communications Privacy Act in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And the act is basically outdated. I mean, it's outdated not to deal with what's happening now with online emails. Politico, according to Politico, they're saying that the internet service providers and most websites keep complete records of internet protocol addresses
mm-hmm.
Of those who use their service for 18 months. And after that, they tend to blur it a little bit.
Right.
But investigators can obtain that information under this Electronic Communications Privacy Act as long as they have reasonable grounds to believe that it's relevant to ongoing criminal investigation. Reasonable grounds, it's a whole lot less of requirement than probable cause needed for a search and warrant. Okay, so it's really, really important. And it's a big deal. Now, you know, the other thing too is that your emails
right.
are good for 180 days. After right. that, it's continued fair game.
Mm-hmm.
So you only have, your emails are just, you know, as long as once 180 days are passed, it's considered, you know, you don't have a right to privacy. So we're going to play this segment and we're going to want to come back and talk about it. But we talked about the Fourth Amendment rights and unreasonable search and seizures. And we want to listen to it to just get, again, another foundation on what are our rights. And if we don't know about them, we're just going to just lose them.
Right.
Well, you know, I want to talk about original intent for a moment. We always talk about the original intent of America and the original intent of the church. Right now is the original intent of our founding fathers. And I'm looking at the Constitution. You need to get your little pocket version, a handbook version of the Constitution so you can carry it with you. Understanding, you know, as we begin to see, you know, things being challenged and people saying they want to do away with the Constitution, you know, things are, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We saw, you know, things that they called it an outdated document in some of the universities. Our judiciary branch, you know, one of our justices are telling Egypt, don't use America's Constitution. It's outdated. You need to go
right.
to one of the countries in Africa to be able to use theirs. There has more openness in regards to abortion and some other things. You can go ahead and bring that into. They're trying to, you know, all this like, really? You know, you're sworn to actually defend
mm-hmm.
The Constitution from enemies, you know, foreign and domestic. And so I'm looking at here, and you know, coming from the experience of, you know, being in law enforcement for about over 9 years, your law enforcement officers live every single day, you know, by the Constitution. I mean, the government used to.
Right.
You know, it used to be, you know, that used to be the thing. For some reason, it's just like they want to change it. But every single day, your lawyers, your judges, and your the law enforcement are applying the Constitution to your community every single day. And they know probably better, because everything that they do has to be checked for if it's constitutionally correct. Did you violate somebody's constitutional rights? And so they're thinking more about the Constitution probably than more others who go back and judge them afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right. easier that, you know, you're in a crazy situation and you're about to lose your life or something. You're trying to, you know, make quick decisions. So the officer has to be well-trained and experienced to be able to do that, because they don't want to violate somebody's rights. Because if you do, I'm looking at the Fourth Amendment right here, that if you do, then they actually let the person go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole Constitution is for you, the individual. It is not for the government. It was created to protect you and me, the people. It was not meant to protect the government. The Constitution was meant for you, the people, not for the government.
Right.
You know, it's like it's totally turned around now. It's like they're trying to create a document that empowers them and disempowers people.
Right.
So knowing the Constitution, getting back to the original intent of our founding fathers, we need to do that so we don't lose it. But the Fourth Amendment talks about this. This is the Fourth Amendment. It says the right of the people to be secure. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You have a right to be secure.
Mm-hmm.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers. That's back when things were done on papers, but it's talking about what's written on the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And effects. Against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated. In other words, don't touch my stuff, don't read my stuff, don't look at my stuff, and don't go in my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Right? Then it goes on and says, and shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issued or be issued but upon probable cause. So they can't even just conjure something up and say, hey, you know, give me a warrant, Judge. I want to be able to go and look in Pat's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his papers, his effects, his house is enough. And he says, because, but upon probable cause, then it can be issued. Supported by an oath of affirmation, which means that person who wants to search your stuff, I don't care if the FBI, the CIA, the local police, or the local sheriff, or the local whoever, they have to raise their hand before God and that judge, and they have to swear, give their word as if that means something. It does, you know, I'm telling you, if you understood who our law enforcement officers are, you'd have such respect for them, because they are the tools, everyday tools, and the judges of the Constitution. They're making sure that nobody takes advantage of it, and they do, they actually undo it. And they have to swear an oath to it. And particularly describing, they have to actually describe very specifically the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. First of all, what does probable cause actually mean? It's important you got to understand that. Probable cause means this. This particular person who says they want to search your belongings, search your papers, search your houses, search your data. There you go. This is a big thing. Search your data. They have to swear an oath that they have a probable cause to believe. Probable cause. And probable cause is defined as this. They believe a crime has been or is about to be committed. There's evidence proven, not suspended. Like, you know, I just think that person is a bad person. That don't do it.
Right.
And that would be thrown out of court.
Mm.
That they can't. They have to actually say, well, you know, I saw the drugs in their hands. I saw the money exchange. It's like when police officers happen to break up any kind of prostitution, they sometimes have to get involved in the process so they can see the money exchange hands. If the money doesn't exchange hands, then the services weren't purchased and they get thrown out of court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's believe it or not, even the prostitute has constitutional rights and they can't be violated, him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who got caught up in the drug trafficking, you know, they're American citizens and they have constitutional rights. Citizens, your neighbor that lives right next to you has these constitutional rights. Police officers, even though they're enforcing the laws, you can't violate their constitutional rights. You can't search their things or their belongings. I mean, everybody does. Mm-hmm. And then not only do you have a probable cause to search, that says, okay, you tell the judge, I believe such and such, this probable cause that a crime is or about to be committed. And then you got to describe, you got to write out in a warrant, affidavit, a warrant, very specifically what you're talking about. You can't say yada, 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 violating them. You can't do mm-hmm. that. You got to say, you know, I believe they're trafficking, and say, just say, you know, dealing in elephants is illegal, right?
Right.
And you were just driving by one day, and you saw this man trying to squeeze an elephant into the front door of the house, right? And you weren't even paying attention, but you noticed it
mm-hmm.
because the big butt of the elephant was sticking
out the door.
Yeah, it was kind of stuck in the door jamb. And so you see it. You go, okay, I see the butt of the elephant trying to get into his house. I see the man with the elephant. I know that the law says it's illegal to traffic in that. So this officer would go to the judge. He would write that out. Saw the butt of an elephant sticking out the door. It's illegal according to this particular statute, you know, federal law or state law. And that he believes is violated. And so the judge would read all that, and then he had to raise his hand up, and he would swear.
Mm-hmm.
I swear I saw the butt of that elephant sticking out the door. This is all to be true. This is the warrant to be true is what he swore.
Right.
And then you go with that warrant, and then you can go to the person's house, and you can search for this elephant. It shouldn't be too hard. He probably still got his butt hanging out the door.
Right.
Depending on your house today. I mean, some big houses. Some big houses in Texas. There's some big houses out there. But know this, that... And so that was, think about all those rights that you had as a person who you know, were being protected at that point. What does that mean? Okay, it means this. Say he got the elephant into the house, and your warrant affidavit, the warrant affidavit is used against you. Now it's a warrant, a search warrant. They can now search. And they go in there, and they start looking for this elephant. Let's just imagine it's a rather large house, and mm-hmm. the elephant can move around. But they start looking in your drawers. I'm talking about where you know, down south, that's actually where you store your clothes and
your
stuff.
Your dresser.
Dresser, that's right. Yeah, your dresser. And, or they're looking in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're looking in the washing machine. Or they're looking in the back of the toilet. Where that little water stuff's in the back, for those in America. And in Europe, they're like in the ceiling. Anyway, and so finally, they look in the jewelry box on your dresser, and they see a big bag of cocaine
mm-hmm.
or crack
mm-hmm.
or heroin, some drug, illegal drug.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrest you for that. And they arrest you for the drug. And it is against the law mm-hmm. to have that drug.
Right.
But they were there under this very specific instruction of the Fourth Amendment that they swore that there was an elephant in the house and they were looking for it. And they arrest you, they take you to jail. And they can't find the elephant, you know, but they found the cocaine, which is a more serious charge.
Mm-hmm.
They take it before the judge, and the judge will find out if this is constitutionally right. Did they violate your constitutional rights? According to the Fifth Amendment, America,
all right.
Don't give up the Constitution. Listen to me. This is so important. And so the judge would say, well, you know, this is a felony charge. You're going to be, you know, possibly, you know, facing umpteen years in prison. And then your defense attorney, because you have, this is what they read you, is your constitutional rights when you're arrested, you know, a variation of this. They say you have the right to remain silent, which is a pretty smart thing to do, by the way,
mm-hmm.
until you know what's going on. Don't think, well, they're going to think I'm guilty. They're already arresting you, so they probably already think you are. They already believe this probable cause.
Right.
Just, you know, you find out what's going on first. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney, which represents you. Understand this, that if you're going to build a house, you go hire a carpenter. People go, look at you, you're just guilty. You know, I would have built that house myself. It's like, I don't know how to build a house. I don't know how to hammer nails or cut things or whatever. You know, you hire a carpenter. This is your right. You have a right to an attorney, which knows how the law works. And so you can bring your attorney in. This is a constitutional right. Don't let anybody tell you, by getting an attorney, you're admitting to guilt. if you're getting an attorney, you're admitting to wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, unless you are one, but it says that a person who represents himself in a court has a fool for a client.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Anyway, so the Constitution set up where you can have legal representation. Then they say this, that, and if you can't afford an attorney, we'll have one appointed to represent you. So we're telling that American citizen, listen, we want justice for you. We don't want to pull the wool over your eyes. We don't want to do you in. We want to just bring this before the judge. We want to bring the light of the Constitution on the situation. We want to put your hand on a Bible that you swear before God, you know, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to lay out all the evidence. So the officer's not convicting you. The officer's bringing you before the judge, and the judge's responsibility is to evaluate, and a jury's responsibility is to evaluate, jury of your peers, that if your constitutional rights have been violated, and if they haven't, then to proceed on with the process. If they have been violated, then they will have to dismiss the case. And this is what the search warrant said. It said, we're looking for an elephant,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is what's going to happen. They're going to throw that charge out, not because you were right in saying it was illegal for them to have these felony drugs, but it was wrong for the fact you shouldn't have been looking in a jewelry box for an elephant, because elephants don't fit in a jewelry box.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fit in that closet. So if you're looking at places that elephants don't fit, you've moved outside your authority that you were given by the judge that you swore that you were looking for elephants. So this is important. Listen, the reason why our founding fathers wrote this in the Constitution is because the British soldiers were kicking our front doors. They would take our stuff from us. They would search anytime they want to. You'd walk down the street and they would just search you and take your stuff. They'd look through your papers and you'd just be like, these peasants, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they treated people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to lose this. We're about to lose this right that we have, the Fourth Amendment right. And we need to wake up. And let me tell you something, church, you got to understand, you know, we're not going to win in this thing, because anything that wants to take control like this is not God.
Right.
You know, it's demonic. It's a tyrannical rule. I mean, it could be God leading us to a place of captivity because we've been in rebellion, but let's just repent before we go there, and let's continue with this great experiment called America, called freedom, you know, where our rights come from God. And that's your Fourth Amendment right. And so as an officer, an experienced officer, mind you,
mm-hmm.
will know that he can't say that and he can't do that. And if he does, he or she's wasting their time, because it's all going to be thrown out in the end. It's going to make them look bad. And so he would have had to say in his search warrant, in his warrant, that I want to search for cocaine. I wanted to search for something that small. And then he could have looked in the jewelry box and it would have stuck, you know? And so, but he has to have probable cause to believe that the person's a drug dealer too,
right?
Or doing drugs.
Mm.
And if you don't have probable cause, he's just like, you know, I just want to check his house for drugs. Then he does not have probable cause to believe the drugs are in that house, because he has to believe that a crime is being committed or is about to be committed. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not the fact that you got drugs or somebody's got drugs. It's the fact that they believe that drugs are being illegal drugs are being used, and that or about to be used, and a crime is about to be committed. And so they just can't say, hey, I want to search your house for, you know, whatever. I just use drugs for just whatever reason. And that's a powerful right that we have. It's a huge right that we have. And they're wanting to change the Constitution. If they take away that, then that means they can search your stuff. They can search your things. And the difficult thing that we have going on right now with the Fourth Amendment, you know, our president and his responsibility as a president of the United States is to protect our Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. He's supposed to protect our borders, where people physically and physically cannot come over the borders without us first finding out who they are, that they wouldn't come in and violate the rights of somebody in our country. And then going back real quick, like, to that Fourth Amendment. So you go to the court, they present the whole thing, the elephant charges being against you, the cocaine charges being against you, and the judge says this. He goes, since you didn't produce the elephant, there's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, you could say if it don't fit, it don't, you gotta quit. But the cocaine, the illegal cocaine, they throw it out. In America, you see all these newscasters today, they have something that, that happens in America, and they get on their rant, and they talk for like 20 days about something. Mm-hmm. But one thing they're not mentioning or ignorant of or just trying to convince people of is not bringing up the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We have a constitutional right. We're innocent until proven guilty. We're just going to the courts to lay everything out, present all of your evidence that says that I'm guilty, and then you as a defendant, the one that's being charged, you do not have to say a word. It's their responsibility. It's the responsibility of the state to present evidence that a crime has been committed beyond any shadow of doubt. They have to convince them that this has happened. So you can just sit there and just watch. Somebody says, I can't believe they're not testifying. First of all, you don't have to. And sometimes, why should you have to say anything anyway? You know, if it's a trumped up charge, if it's something that's not right, and if somebody's got some vendetta or something like that, then, you know, let it all just be spelled out in court and you just sit there and watch it. You know, the jury's instructed you cannot base your decision based on whether the defendant speaks or not speaks. Mm-hmm. The burden is on the prosecution. It was on the officer who made the arrest. It was on the warrant, the judge, the was signed in the Fourth Amendment. It was on the search and how they did the search. It was on all these specifics. And some people said it was thrown out for a technicality. No, they're thrown out because they violated someone's constitutional right. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Right. And the system's based off of this. It's better to let two guilty men free than to send one innocent man to jail.
Right.
We got to remember that. Mm-hmm. You know, is it worse having two guilty people go free or to sending you an innocent man to jail? I think it's worse sending you an innocent man to jail.
All right.
You know, life has this way of working things out.
Right.
I mean, think about what happened with O.J. Simpson and all that. It looked like he got free on mm-hmm. the situation, didn't it?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he's in jail today. Mm-hmm. It just seems like, you know, justice just happens over time, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And so know this, that our system is based on, you know, it's better to let two guilty people go free than to send you, an innocent person, to jail. So if we demand every person that we think in our own mind and exclude the Constitution, exclude the wisdom of the judges and the attorneys and the wisdom of the officers, and we're just going to throw somebody in jail, guess who's next?
Yeah.
Guess who's next? I want to encourage you. You know, when somebody talks to you or you hear people talking about or your legislature talking about, your congressman or your senator saying that the Constitution is outdated and they need to do away with it, when our Supreme Court justice, you know, I believe it was Ginsburg's telling the Egyptian leaders not to use the Constitution that she swore to be able to defend, you know, and to make sure that our laws are constitutional, she needs to be impeached. She needs to be removed from office yesterday. A president who doesn't defend the Constitution, who doesn't stand up from enemies of it, foreign and domestic, needs to be removed from office. That a congressman or a senator who doesn't defend it needs to be removed from office. A military person who's serving in the military, who swore to uphold it and defend it, they need to be removed from the military. Every aspect. And a person it's a citizen of America that becomes an enemy of the state and an enemy of the Constitution, they need to be removed. That's mm-hmm. just it.
Right.
Because we all pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States for the republic, not democracy, for which it stands. It's a representative government. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, this is so important. It's exactly what we're talking about with the Fourth Amendment. It's exactly what we're talking about with what's happening with Google and their recent request from the government mm-hmm. to get information. Right. I mean, think about it. And what's helped to facilitate this and kind of what seems to has allowed the Fourth Amendment to be bypassed is this Electronic Communications Privacy Act. The thing about with your emails is that, and according to Wikipedia, we're going to make this available on the Torch. So they say this, that, for instance, your email is stored on a third-party server for more than 180 days. It's considered by law to be abandoned. Mm-hmm. And all that is required to obtain that the content of the emails for law enforcement agency to basically submit a written statement certifying that that information is relevant to an investigation with absolutely no judicial review required mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Wow.
And before, when this was done, you know, emails weren't stored all that much on the server because it'd get to where it needed to go. Mm-hmm. But now with people using services like Yahoo and Gmail, you know, they're letting all their emails just say stored in mm-hmm. Gmail or Yahoo or whatever other, you know, source like that. Mm-hmm. So think about it. After 180 days, that email, those emails are considered to be abandoned. Mm. Just out there. And so delete.
right.
But you want to be, just you want to be wise. I mean, we have to know what our constitutional, you know, amendment rights are. You got to know the Bill of Rights. And most, I mean, listen, this Fourth Amendment, you have a right. And this is the danger, is that if we're not aware and we just go with the flow and think, okay, you know, this is just what's happening in the news. I guess mm-hmm. I just have to accept it. You know, that they can get even the CIA's emails. You know, why not? Who am I? No, listen, you have rights. You have rights.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.